Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more. More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, Amy Sugarman, Riley Palousis, Danielle's iPhone is joining us as well. Hello, Danielle's iPhone, who's having some.
You know,
Wi-Fi
we're doing
issues.
The best we can here.
Guys, how are you? Good to see you. What an episode. Good Lord. Man, do I want to move to Connecticut.
That was an episode. Yes. I cannot wait to hear what you think of it.
Well, first, right off the bat, I was down in Atlanta at the Fandemic Dead convention, which was all Walking Dead people. For some reason, they invited me. I know the promoter, and he's a great guy. And he invited me down, and Yannick was there too, because we share an agent. And Yannick and I had a blast. He's a fun guy. And
did you tell him how much you just love his lines?
Oh, God. And especially, I got to tell you, my favorite all-time Yannick scene, and maybe my favorite scene in the whole two seasons, is that scene of him, "I'm going home."
I agree.
Mean, it was the most beautifully acted, beautifully timed comedic scene. He set himself up so beautifully to just nail her at the end of that scene.
I have a wonderful suggestion.
Right.
How about I leave? Like, he's so, this was maybe his best episode.
Yeah. I think it was a lot of people's best episode. Yeah. And I think, you know, Amy wrote the episode along with John Stevens, who was a writer's room favorite, and she directed the episode. So it had that special something to it where it was it was elevated. And I think just everything about it was better. The acting was better. The lighting was better. It was just,
it didn't miss a beat. Like every single moment was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into it.
So tell us your overall of what you thought.
Well, Riley, why don't you do a little synopsis and bring us in so everybody knows what in the heck we're talking about.
Let's do it. Happy finale.
This is season
Happy
two of
finale,
our show. Finale,
guys. It's the end of season two. Yeah.
It's called I Can't Get Started, air date May 21st, 2002. It's the season two finale in Suki and Jackson's wedding day. Chris comes into town and reveals he and Sherry are taking time apart. Eek. Meanwhile, he and Lorelai reconnect on an intimate level. And,
and does it say that in the synopsis?
No.
No, it doesn't.
You got to put a little spin in there. Then they all, Paris convinces Rory to run as vice president, which could lead to a summer away in Washington, D.C., and Jess convinces Luke to let him stay in Stars Hollow for good, and Rory ends up kissing him by the pond while she is still with Dean.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, can we start with that? Or should we start with, oi, with the poodles already?
I think we should start with, well, what was the cold opening? What was the cold open? It wasn't that.
The flowers.
Was it?
You mean when the episode opened, it opens with all the flowers and Lorelai and Rory and Michelle are like exhausted.
Oh, right.
And Suki's listening to sort of like all the wrong wedding songs.
We're listening to Ella Fitzgerald, right?
That
was a wonderful opening, by the way. That was unexpected because it was lower energy and it was a little sleepy, but it was cool. It was really cool. It really set the tone.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that opening. And Michelle was in it too. So
he's a game the whole episode.
I got to tell you, this episode, Yannick really, and it's not Yannick, it's Yannick. Like Yannick, not Yannick, like tonic. and he reminded me of this over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We were together in Atlanta at that thing. So anyway.
Wait, sidebar really fast. Were there Gilmore Girls fans at a Walking Dead like convention?
So this is the thing that shocks promoters of these, because most of these conventions are sci-fi or Marvel comics or horror or Walking Dead or something like that.
Yeah.
My agent has to convince these promoters, like, listen, he does really well at these conventions because the Gilmore fans come out to these things, stand in lines to meet Scott. And it happens every single time I do a convention. And it's I think pretty much unprecedented on the convention circuit that somebody from a non sci-fi show and like this nice little niche show is getting convention traffic, because these, you know, the Gilmore fans are not, you know, I got to tell you, you know what I'm learning? People love Saw. They love Walking Dead. They also watch Gilmore Girls. They're doing it all. It's not like one or the other anymore.
Two of my top shows of all time are Gilmore Girls and Walking Dead. Right. So, like, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they don't discriminate. And they come out in droves. And they are delightful. And it's so great to meet them.
I don't want to be a totally crazy person right now.
Yes.
But I'm going to say something nuts.
Okay.
The reason I love Gilmore Girls is almost the same reason I love Walking Dead. Because of the relationships of these characters that aren't a family that became a family. Like, I could literally say, like, oh, wow, there are a lot of similarities in the reasons why I love both shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's those.
Just had a real aha.
It's those interconnections between the cast. You know, it's the character. Yeah. But they're wonderful. And they're just so happy to be there and meet me and tell me about the show and what it did for them. And it's
do they
it's
ever tell you they listen to the podcast?
Yeah, they all do. Oh, they all love the podcast. Yeah, they love the podcast. And if they're not aware of it, I educate them on the spot in the nicest possible way. And they're delighted. They're like, oh my God, I have to catch up. And I said, yeah, we're 82 episodes in. You go, oh my God, I got listening to do. I said, yeah.
Oh my God, I love it.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And, you know, I'm doing some more in July. I'm doing another one in June. So anyway, they're fun. They're That's a lot awesome. Of fun. And the Gilmore fans come out in big numbers. They really do. So it's a real party.
That's cool.
It's fun. Anyway, so yeah, the Oi with the Poodles scene two.
That became like a classic line.
That's it's classic.
And there it was.
Yeah, there it was. The construction of the line right there in front of us. Rory and Lorelai built that classic line right in front of our eyes. And with the typical Emily, Lorelai, will you please stop talking?
so good. But wait, we finally got Danielle. Danielle, did you love this episode?
I loved it so
much. I'm still thinking about it. Like, and I watched it, you know, like, I'm just like, it's still on my mind. I love this episode so much. It was such a good finale. So yeah. Good.
Yeah. It felt like a finale. It felt like a perfect warm send off, but we're coming back. It's like, it really did have a nice, it was unlike any other episode. And especially, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but.
With two insane cliffhangers.
You got so much drama. Yeah. So much drama.
Like, imagine back in 2000, whatever. What was it? 2002, 2003 now? Mm-hmm. That's, mm-hmm. You're left with that in May. And you're like, are you joking me? I have to wait till September to figure out what happens. Like, these days, these kids have the benefit of like, oh, click next on Netflix. People had to wait for months to figure out what was going to happen.
Yeah, and guess what? That builds an audience better than how they do it now, I think. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but streaming has changed the game.
We'll keep
going. No. All right. So I agreed with, I don't know how you guys felt, but I agreed with Emily that was a pity invite and to the wedding. And I'm glad that she pointed that out so clearly to Lorelai. What'd you guys think?
Totally agree. A pity wedding invite is not always the worst thing in the world, though. You know, you get free drinks, free food, free dancing, music, all that stuff. And just by the looks of it, that wedding looked like beautiful. A blast. Like, mm-hmm. You got Babette, mm-hmm. You got Kirk singing at the piano. I'm like, this is too good. I want to be there.
Right. Did you pity invite anybody to either of your weddings? Danielle and Scott, because
I didn't, but I was definitely a pity invite to one of my now best friend's wedding. Like, I was like, imagine if you didn't pity invite me to your wedding. It's like a joke, and we're best friends now.
Scott, did you throw any last minute pity invites? To
no, your no, no, no. No. I wouldn't do that to people because they know. Because it's happened to me a few times, and it's not a good feeling. But
well, it's so funny. We do these award shows. Yeah. And we had to book some last minute presenters. And I literally use the analogy of like, this is like the pity invite to a wedding. Like, these people know that we didn't suddenly just like, can't wait to have you present one day before the show. Like,
yeah, but that's just that's a business, you know, and a business sometimes has glitches and you got to fix them. And, you know, that it's just a bit, these are personal. This is interpersonal stuff. This isn't like you're putting on a show, an award show.
That Emily called it out, and then Richard comes in for dinner and he's mm-hmm. like, I see. Like,
yeah. What's the worst pity and fight that you've all received? Can you remember? Oh, has it happened to you?
I'm sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it happened to me, but it turned out great. So I no bitterness on my end.
I think you get it when you're like, find out about a party that you weren't invited to, and then the person knows and they're like, oh, you can come. And you're just like, oh, thanks, can I? Like,
I was sitting next to a group of girls and they were talking about like a bachelorette party, and I was at the bridal shower, and one of the girls was like, we do this, and she looks at me and she goes, you can come if you want. I'm like, it's okay, thank you.
Jesus. These days, I'm so old though, I hope to not be invited. Is anyone else experiencing that where you're like, please don't invite me?
Totally. Please don't make me say no. Please.
All right. So
moving. Please don't ask me to be a bridesmaid. Please don't.
So moving into that, I know it's a very awkward position to be in. So now let's move into Luke's. Lorelai. So,
yeah.
Lorelai. And it looks like Dean and Rory are happy as two peas in a pod.
And a very memorable scene. So funny. Mm-hmm. Do you like your breakfast? Oh, mm-hmm. You do? Like, and he's all, do you want to trade? Like, it was, that's a very cute sort of iconic Gilmore moment.
So, and Lorelai pacing in the background, scared to come in the diner, waiting for, because, you know, the dust up with Luke is not, the dust is not settled yet, I guess.
Now, what did you think? Should he have forgiven her already?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Should he? I don't know. He is who he is, right? He just, now he's back in his shell a little bit. He's turtling a little bit.
Yeah. That stood out to me.
Yeah. It's like, gosh, man, that's a hard, Listen, if you're really involved with somebody and you have if you're, you know, having a relationship, a real full-blown relationship with somebody and you have a blowout fight, it's easy to forgive because then there's some recourse. You know what to do. You know how to make up. The makeup part is really good. Yeah, and it makes you forget about the fight. What's his recourse? How do they make up? They're not intimate. You know, I mean, they are in a way, but they're it's just that it's such a slight to him because he's been there for her. He's been there for her. He's been a good guy. Maybe, you know, he's not so.
So when you were watching it, so she, you know, she's pacing back and forth. She comes in, Rory and Dean leave, and she goes to the counter and she really does say she's sorry. She really does. And he still wasn't having it. Did you have a moment where you're like, oh, forgive her and let's move on? Or were
it's almost like she was demanding that that he move on instead of just sort of kind of vibing with him a little bit. And it's like she didn't like what she was getting right away. And she got, I don't know if she got hostile, but she got disappointed and got defensive and got the heck out of there.
I really thought it was powerful when, so I wrote, my notes say awesome scene. Like I loved that moment between the two of them. And she says, I want Luke back. And you say, he's standing right here. And she says, no, he's not.
Right. Well, and she said it under his breath so he could hear it. Right. Yeah, it was big. It was a big moment.
I wrote down those lines too.
But it opened the door for all that Christopher stuff that followed, right? So you got to propel her into that the possibility of all that happening, and that's exactly what that scene. So I mean that scene served its function. So it was a necessary scene. Let's just say. But I liked it. I did. I liked it. And
I thought you both were great. And you know what's so interesting? You make a cough in it. Like you had an entire line of a cough.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow, this is.
Yeah, I threw that in. I threw that in.
It was very good.
It's the one time I think I got something in that wasn't scripted.
It was.
And then somebody's going to produce a script saying, ah, it said Luke coughs. But I think I threw it in.
Might I thought it was one of the most important scenes in the episode.
Yeah, I guess as far as those two are concerned, yeah. It was heavy, heavyweight episode. Because it's hard to be, you know, that stoic and that, you know, Gibraltar-like in the face of somebody who's trying to, he wasn't ready.
And that we know deep down he loves. So it's like, I'm sure there's a part of Luke that wanted to forgive and have his friend back.
Listen, man, he's a blue collar guy. You don't talk to blue collar that way. You know what I mean? Don't talk to me that way. I'm a worker. You know, I get up every morning. I do for you. I'll take a lot of crap, but don't go over the top like that. You know, he's gone. In his
he
mind
also
right
doesn't
now,
like yelling like that. Like not that she was screaming, but Luke as a person doesn't like a fight like that.
No, he's a sensitive guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a heart. He's got a shell on, and he, you know, he didn't. I don't think he deserved that, and he thinks he didn't deserve that.
And he's never raised his voice at Jess, despite whatever Jess does. That's not his way. So for when Lorelai just lost it, rightfully so, he was ill prepared for that.
What are you going to do? That's life, you know? That's
do you think that was too much emotion coming at him? So what we're going back a few episodes to the fight. Do you think because she was so overcome and emotional and she did raise her voice and she's, you know, yes, she's blaming him for something. It's totally not his fault. Is that too much for Luke?
I'm going to risk saying, sounding, I'll just say it. I think what he heard in her voice and in that anger was a lot of, I think he felt like less of a man. Because and he disappointed himself. If he let her down that to that degree, then he's maybe thinking a little bit less of himself. So he's maybe in a little depressed situation. Yeah. I don't think it's so much he's hating on her, but he's got to deal with how he feels about himself.
I think that's totally.
I also think there was like a realization that he always thinks about Lorelai, and Lorelai mm-hmm. wasn't thinking about how Luke was feeling in that situation. Mm-hmm. So I think he was kind of like, oh, wait, maybe this is only one-sided.
Right. Oh, Danielle.
Right. Right. Really but good. Also, let's add another layer. Maybe he's feeling a little less like, you know, the man who should step up and claim his love and, you know, really let her know and really go out on a limb. And he just, I don't know, I just think he feels very vulnerable and gutless, and he's just going to put that shell of armor on and mm-hmm. and just sort of keep her at a distance now.
Shell of armor is a perfect description.
He doesn't know how to deal with it. And I think he's disappointed in himself that he hasn't made a stronger move to, you know, get that relationship off the ground. You know,
yeah,
he could hear it in her voice. Maybe he heard some of that too. Like that rage was like, hey, stupid, I'm here, I'm waiting, let's go. And he hasn't done it. So of course he's going to get blasted like that.
You know, what's interesting, you know? That fight mm-hmm. really is lingering. And I mm-hmm. think maybe the diner scene is even more powerful because the writers, you know, in our world, it's real to us. They didn't just tie it up in a bow and go like, okay, the fight's over, we're good now. It's like they really are letting it linger, which made it that much more significant.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, back to it. If we're going in order, let's talk about Paris running for president.
Oh, interesting. Well, I found her. I mean, she was appropriately grating. Mm-hmm. With a T, not with a D. And that's her role. And I thought it was a great shot. The camera, it was a steady camera. Old Steve, the Steve from Steadicam, doing his great work, mm-hmm. and walking up that aisle and around her and then back down the stairs again. That's a tough shot to make. That's a very heavy camera. And, you know, he's got to be careful with the steps. He was a big, strong guy, nicest guy, Steadicam Steve. And, you know, she, look, the contrast between the Rory and Paris has to be, you know, it has to be black and white. You know, it has to be good versus evil. It has to be hateable versus likable. Mm-hmm. You know, makes it work, makes it fly. I don't know. Rory just got roped into something, man.
Yeah.
She just got manipulated, right?
Oh, my God. Yes. I have Paris equals manipulator on my notes because literally she totally dragged her in with that Harvard
It was a smart move for Paris to say it. I was like, oh, well done, Paris. You got her.
Yeah, but she had me convinced. Of the hundreds of thousands who apply, you know, how are you going to differentiate yourself? And that's a good point.
And Rory was like, oh, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Wait, Riley, there are two pop culture references that I have to talk about in the recap. I know we're still going to do pop culture. But when she said the Damon to my Affleck, I was like, oh, yes. Like, that still so works 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I know. She does the Yin to my Yang, the Joel to my Ethan, the Damon to my Affleck.
Geller and Gilmore. And she really liked that alliteration.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminded me of you a little bit, Amy. I was like, oh, that's, you like,
am I the Paris?
No, Paris. You like the B&B, you know? Like,
oh, I love alliteration.
Yeah.
I love alliteration.
No,
I also thought it was hilarious when Paris said, it's like you were dressed by birds.
Right.
Roy says, I haven't been dressed since birds since I was 2 years old.
Yeah. That, I think that's, what's that, Snow White or Cinderella?
Yeah, that's what it reminded
me.
Yeah.
That was what, I called Danielle the other day, and I don't know if I was like on speaker, and all I hear is like birds chirping, and I'm like, are you in Snow White right now? Like, what is happening at your house? And that is the same, dressed by birds, like... Oh my God.
So it's an interesting dilemma. I thought that scene with Louise and Madeline was hysterical. Oh, you're polling really well for competence. Yes. What was the other category? But likability, you're way down and they would prefer not to vote for you. So
hilarious. You know what I want to ask you, really all three good. Of you?
Because
This goes through my mind all the time. Those two are popular girls, like not Paris, yes. Louise and why is her name out of my
Madeline.
Name? Madeline. They're like popular and cool. Why are they best friends with Paris? If Paris is so unlikable and like everyone hates her, but those two cool girls are friends with her. What do we make of that?
I never thought of that.
They're followers. They probably want to get into Harvard too, right? They probably have fathers or mothers who could buy their way in. And they're just being smart. I mean, Paris is obviously going to be a person either who ends up in a lunatic asylum or she's going to end up running the world. So why not glom on?
They need Paris to get good grades.
And Paris is never appreciative of them enough. Like, mm-mm. You have two really good friends that are like out there polling for you.
Right. Yeah. 150 students they talk to. That takes time. Asking all those questions.
I'm like, what is happening here? So anyway, I digress.
Is Paris like their bulldozer? Like, does their dirty work?
Like, or maybe she's been friends with them since fourth grade and it's like one grandfathered in.
And they probably feel sorry for her because they know her family situation, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I get the vibe they're friends for so long they can't like ditch her. They're like.
Right. So now we're at the doctor's office. Rory's getting her cast off. Christopher shows up in his shirt. The shirt was wearing him. He really wasn't wearing the shirt.
I love every Christopher moment. I know people disagree with me, but I think
I don't disagree with you. I love it too.
I love him.
Again, I'm going to recuse myself from the Christopher stuff.
I know I'm jumping ahead, but when he was in the bedroom in that white tank top.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Huh?
Go ahead. You're in charge.
What the heck are you doing? Oh, I did it. Did I just do it again? I
not
just did
all.
It again.
No,
I shouldn't shut you down.
No, but I'm the
apologize.
One going out of order.
No, go.
No, you were right.
Christopher in the t-shirt. He looked like Marlon Brando's love child with the Tuki Sambuki or
you're
something.
You're
right.
We'll get to it in due time. Continue with the scene with the cast.
I have nothing to say.
I do. Lorelai had a turquoise necklace that were really good and brown pants with some embellishment. And then in comes Christopher just being a hottie babe and like such a good dad all of a sudden. And then I also wanted to comment on Rory's shirt that said number 13 and strange. And all I was like, is that like, it's not Stranger Things. Obviously it wasn't even out yet, but like, did you guys notice her shirt?
You did. We didn't need to.
Oh, I'm in the fashion on this. Continue.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so that's when Lorelai invites Christopher to the rehearsal dinner, which is a big deal.
Yep.
Big deal. Now things are starting to pick up a little pace, right?
Yes.
Starting to get horses in the starting gate, and we're like, uh-oh.
We've seen
and the
it
whole
building.
Time,
and
right.
Here we go.
And the whole time I'm thinking, Luke doesn't even know any of this is going on.
Oh. Yeah,
is he going to find out? If he does find out, how's he going to feel? Poor old Lukey back there.
No,
the shell on
bitter
his empty
back
diner.
At the diner.
Bitter at the diner.
I'm like, you should have forgave her, dude.
Yeah.
Should have forgave her. Look at what's happening.
I'm okay with the grudge holding.
I don't know. I think it's very unhealthy to do that. You should forgive. You really should forgive. Unless it's some kind of an extraordinary circumstance where it was just so abusive. But maybe that's how he feels. You know, that's probably how he feels. But
so
what did
you think of the rehearsal?
The rehearsal. I don't really remember the rehearsal. The rehearsal was hysterical.
Yeah.
Because Kirk gave the...
I wonder, I don't think... Is Luke not invited to the wedding? It's kind of weird.
That's a little strange.
That is weird.
Explain that. Explain that.
It's weird.
Well,
but they used his huppah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did.
I missed that.
Is it because Suki's Lorelai's friend and Luke and Lorelai are not on good terms right now?
Yeah, but but everybody from the town was there except for him.
Yeah,
and there was no scene.
He got officially excluded because he was not there.
Okay, so is it because the writers feel that was a big enough fight between Luke and Lorelai that he's not going to be invited?
Maybe, and even though they don't address it, that's what we're to assume.
We're to assume that. So he's out now because he had a big screaming match with Lorelai.
But if you were Luke, wouldn't you be mad at Suki for not inviting you?
Or because Luke is so down in the dumps right now, he got the invitation and just wasn't going.
Possibly.
But that
it is
would
weird
mean, but
he wouldn't
that,
be invited. That's
it,
weird.
Right. It's such a close-knit community, and he's such a pivotal, central figure of that town. Why wouldn't he be there? You know, that was a little strange. That's good pointing that out. So the rehearsal dinner was funny. Kirk gave his toast, moved my car.
And then, oh my God. And it was Christopher's.
Yeah.
And we've got the kilt thing.
Yeah.
And then they go out, grab the bottle, and out they go to those stairs. And it was right. Like, oh, wow.
But even that little kilt scene paid off beautifully because it was just during the wedding when he walks up, it's like, ah. So there's a whole scene of that to set that up. And it's kind of nice to see it pay off.
I also have to say, I loved how I almost wanted to copy it, Danielle, for our next party. When Christopher and Lorelai are sitting on the steps at Suki's and there was just candles up the sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I always love a good candle entrance.
Visually, this episode was just, oh my God. Every single thing was amazing to look at.
Yeah. And you know what? I hate to go here, but I'm going to go here. Again, I apologize to anybody that I
do it.
Anybody's feather. I mean, should I just shut up and talk? Okay.
Yeah, we're ready. We like the controversial Scott.
I'm not saying that in the Netflix episodes that they didn't make a big deal about prepping for Luke and Lorelai's wedding. It was, but we only got the preparation part. We got to enjoy the preparation. We got to enjoy all of the flowers and the walls mm-hmm. of flowers and all of the mm-hmm. wonderful things that were being planned for Luke and Lorelai's wedding. We just didn't see the wedding. And then we see all of this wonderful stuff, and they're making such a big deal about Suki and Jackson's wedding, mm-hmm. right? So I can it's understandable how the fans felt shortchanged by the episodes and not getting a real Luke and Lorelai wedding. Because look at all the potential. Look at all the fun stuff that happens mm-hmm. at a wedding. Mm-hmm. And this episode, a finale, right? And mm-hmm. the wedding, Luke and Lorelai wedding, could have been the finale yeah. of the entire series. They didn't take the opportunity, and it's just,
you know what I was happy about though in this episode with the choice of don't make me sit through the vows, like that we like. I didn't want to have to watch Suki and Jackson's full wedding. I got enough of it and them coming, you know, because really what it was about was Rory right. and Lorelai, mm-hmm. you know, having these two massive moments which they don't speak of, and then walking. So I guess sometimes I do think like a wedding can slow down what we really want to be seeing.
Well, it's just, it's
meaning
a support.
The vows.
It's like, you know, they didn't give the supporting characters their due. In other words, it's a nice way of saying the supporting characters aren't as important. They didn't get their due because we need to just stay on track mm-hmm. with what, you know, how we've set this up. The narratives need to play out, and we only have a certain amount of time to do it. So it's got to be Christopher Lorelai resolution. It's got to be Jess and Rory resolution. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. sort of not resolution, but, you know, cliffhangers, right?
Major.
Right. And we already have our cliffhanger with Luke and Lorelai. You know, there's some bad blood there. So
we also got taken on a roller coaster so fast. So we've been building with this Christopher thing. All of a sudden, right. we're like, oh my God, it's on. He opens up like things aren't going well with Sherry. I'm right. looking for an apartment. Lorelai's all excited about it. They kiss. They sleep together. We're mm-hmm. like on this. Whoa. Then we bring in Emily, and Emily's like, I'll be damned. And she's thrilled about it, right?
Thrilled.
Mm-hmm. All in one episode. And then we're completely smacked, let down. It, boom.
I thought, okay, so if we're going to go there right now, we'll go a little out of order because it is, yeah. it's a very, you know, it was like the entire episode. I thought that was a little ham-handed. I thought that, and I don't want to use this term, but it felt a little soapy to me that he mm-hmm. threw in the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, it's pregnant. It was like, oh God, really? I mean, because when we really start to hate, here it is. You start to hate the guy because you know he's going to pull something, right. right? I mean, it's Christopher. He's going to pull something. What's it going to be? And here he is. They're standing on the bridge, and it's like, oh God, sorry. You know, this kind of thing. Now what's the reason? He got a phone call. He's going back to Sherry. But now he says, she's pregnant. And I was like, oh wow, that was too much. For me, so, it was too much.
Okay, so
just
I'm gonna
too
in.
Much.
And I want to hear what Riley and Danielle think, because to me, it was like, if he just left her, he's a D word. But because of this, it's like, oh no.
Well, they're trying to rehabilitate a guy who's, you can't rehabilitate, no matter how likeable David Sutcliffe is. He was not around. Here I am.
Right.
I don't want to be so forceful, but he wasn't around for her. And Rory told him on their walk, you tend to do this and you better mean it this time and don't mess with our hearts anymore. This
and
kind
that's
of thing.
Why it's even more brutal.
I mean,
because
the guy,
his reason.
Listen, can you just say it? The guy's a selfish loser.
So again, I'm going to have to argue with you. He was selfish-ish, but he was also very young. But the reason he's heartbroken to leave Lorelai, because he loves Lorelai, but he's trying to do the right thing. And yes, it all happened too fast in like one phone call. You're like, what? You figured out life in one phone call? But it's like, he even says, I missed it with Rory. I can't abandon another kid. So I was like, I think to me, the baby was the only way for him to stir it up. You know, obviously we need this. We can't just have, it's not the Christopher and Lorelai show. So it's like, and it's excruciating for her. I mean, she is in so much pain and heartbroken again, because she let herself believe, even though it was for like 48 hours, she let herself believe like this family that I wanted is happening. She told her mom, like the person she would never let in on something, she told her mom, and now she's going to have to go back to Emily and tell her what happened.
Can I ask you? Yeah, that's, yeah.
Oh, I'm
I accept
like
that.
Devastated by it.
All right. So let me ask you this. In terms of the fan base and in terms of polling our panel here, how right does it feel with Christopher versus Luke and Lorelai?
I'll just say this. On the Instagram, the comments are completely polarizing. There are so many people on there that hate Christopher. Mm-hmm. I've never had anybody not like Luke and Lorelai, mm-hmm. but they, some people love them like me, and some people cannot stand right. the character.
Right.
I like him.
I love him too.
So we're three for three.
But maybe I'll hate him soon.
No, you're not going to hate him more than this, because this is as bad as he gets. Kind of. I mean, well, I don't want to jump ahead, but
I just find that there is there's no tension between them. As much as they try to create tension between those two, there's no tension between them. And I find it, I don't know, I just don't find it compelling to watch. And I'm trying to remove my personal feelings and my Luke feelings and just try to be objective about it. It, for me, it feels too, it's like if I had portrayed Luke as this sunny kind of a creature,
right.
Or see Christopher as Luke, and the show.
Well,
would
look,
have been
that's
odd.
Why Luke and Lorelai are endgame, but we're right. just so we're just in the thick of it right now, mm-hmm. and Christopher and Lorelai, there's such there's something between them more than just Rory. They do have a chemistry. What did you guys think of the kiss on the couch?
Go ahead, Riley.
It was a cute kiss. It was quite steamy.
Yeah, I liked it all. I get giddy when they're together. I'm like, this is amazing. They have so much chemistry.
You know what I love so much? And I think, and I've never heard Luke say it, it's a Christopher thing. I could be wrong. Yell at me later. He calls her Lore all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A.
I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just going to say it. I've said it before. I get he's the biological dad. I get that he has certain rights to see his child and be with his child. And it's a free country. Those two can do whatever they want. But in my world, in Luke's world, he hasn't earned the right to her heart. And I don't understand why she would take him back in, because he's just been doing this for, he's been doing this same routine, showing up, getting everybody all excited, and then taking off for whatever reason for 16 years. And when is she just going to move on and be strong and say, that's why it's so compelling. I think that's the tension. The tension that situation creates is within the audience or within me saying, he's not worth it. He's going to do it to you again. Don't let him do it again. Don't fall for him again.
You're right.
Do you? Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. And then at the same time, I'm like, oh, give him another chance. This guy. Let me ask you this. You have to remove Luke from it. If you had to pick who's more right for her, and I think I've asked you this before, but now you've seen more episodes, Max or Christopher? Those are your choices up till now.
I think they're both manipulative. Hmm. I don't think Luke is manipulative.
Luke's not your...
He has no agenda.
He's not in this equation.
You broke the rules, Scott. Here's the game. There's no loop. I just want Scott Patterson's opinion on.
Yeah.
As a fan of the show, watching it for the first time, right. Who is more right for her? There's no loop. Try hard. I know it's so hard for you. Max or Christopher?
Gosh. Well, you got to look at it this way. I'll look at it this way. Okay. How devastating would it be if it was Christopher and it's inevitably failed again? How would Rory react to that? And then what if Max became the guy and that failed? How would that make Rory look at her own mother? How would that mold Rory? So what's best for Rory? But she's 16 and she's going to fly away soon, right?
This is going to be much harder for her to take than when she broke up with Max.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is rough. This
right.
is rough.
Yeah. So this.
But
is...
also, she was way happier about it. She wants it too. That's why this is so devastating. And as a viewer or someone who feels like I'm watching these people, like I'm with them, I'm at the wedding. Oh my God! In the blink of an eye, they were all so happy, and then it's just like. Crashed.
Oh, I wanted them to get through the wedding without that news.
I thought of the same thing.
Like, I wish it was season 3, episode 1. Oh, Sherry's pregnant. I wish it was in the same episode.
I agree with you. I thought it was rushed. That's why it seemed awkward. It was the only like missed note in the whole thing, in my opinion.
We were freaking out for 10 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
And then
I totally agree. I thought he should have faked it through the wedding and told her the next day.
Right. Because that's what he would have done.
Yeah. But I guess Sherry was there and he felt like he had to rush home to her. But I agree with you guys. That was weird. I would have faked it knowing she was about to walk down the aisle. His timing was atrocious.
It was abrupt. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. I mean, it's like he just dropped a bomb on the whole thing. But I mean, it's
more weird because he was sort of smiling while telling her.
Right.
That was tough.
You know, they cast a guy, David Sutcliffe is such a nice, likable guy, right? So they had to have a guy like that and put all of those pox on him. I mean, just he's awful. He's just not showing up and pulling this stuff.
I'm like obsessed with him. That tank top, I know, I'm going to come back to it.
Yeah.
He does know what I'm talking. You can plug your ears if you have to. He's in the bedroom. Not you, Riley.
I can handle it.
Riley's
we got
my headphones.
I think we understand.
Young ears.
Yeah.
He's in that white tank top in the bedroom, and he just looks so cute. And I found myself, I couldn't even stare at his face. I just was staring at the tank top, like his arms, and it's like, I love him.
All right. So let's move on to so I think we kind of talked that to death, didn't we? Because now we're focusing on body parts. But it's like, come on.
Well, let's get to the most important, the two scenes that are the most important.
Go ahead. What do you think they were?
Luke and Jess and Rory and Jess.
The Luke and Jess scene, I think, was the best scene that I have done in the first two seasons.
I agree.
Yeah. Can't argue with you.
And I have to give the credit to Amy for directing it in such a way. I mean, it was beautifully lit. She knew where to put the camera. The editing was just top notch. It was great scene.
It's like, because we all think of Milo now, knowing how much work he's done. You know, This Is Us and whatever that show was called where they had special powers. I don't know.
Heroes.
So it's like we're thinking about this seasoned actor. But at the time, like he's doing those scenes and he's just like a young kid.
Mm-hmm. He was very vulnerable in this scene, but it was not too vulnerable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Jess slipped back. The bad boy.
You didn't pack my stuff.
Right.
You didn't pack my stuff.
So we see how manipulative he can be. And he's just got his hat in his hand and he has nowhere else to turn. And how can he say no?
Pretend I'm some actor expert, which I'm not. But would you call that the reason that was so good is the word nuanced? Like it was so.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Both of you. And I get why you
behavior. It comes down to behavior.
Yes. And I know
that's that's what good acting is, what is your behavior in any given moment, right? How are you listening in the scene? How does what the other person is saying and feeling, how does it impact you? And how behaviorally will you physicalize that?
Yes.
Also psychologically with a look in the eye. So
you two were buddies.
Yeah. Okay.
In real life.
I had this like weird takeaway from that scene afterwards. I was like, oh my God, Luke is so happy. It's like a part of him's being filled back up again that was missing. Mm. And he like in a weird way needs Jess just as much as Jess needs Luke. Like they need each other to go through life with. I don't know, like there's just this bond and seeing that like it come back together, you can see how genuinely happy Luke is about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he feels like he screwed it up. He probably takes a lot of responsibility for that and he wants another chance.
Mm-hmm. And so does Jess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he needs it, you know, it's his life.
I have an acting question. Just when, if you're like doing a scene with somebody and you just like can't get there, like can't connect, like, how do you get yourself to make it to that place where it's believable?
Smack them.
You will connect with me.
No, like you yourself. Like, do you have any like rituals?
You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
Did you have any like rituals or something that you would tell yourself to like get there.
I never had that problem on Gilmore Girls. No, yeah. That was a gift every day. You were always working with somebody, a very high caliber talent. Who really knew their craft. So it was never about that. I've done other shows where it was like, you know, you had to slap. I never slapped anybody. I'm just kidding. But you want to.
Right.
Because like, wake the F up, man. Get in the scene. Sometimes people get too much in their head because they overanalyze and they think about stuff too much. And that's good to do in rehearsal. It's good to do while you're preparing the work. But once the camera's rolling and they say action, man, just let it fly. Just trust the research that you've done, trust the work, and just listen and go and just, you know, let it fly.
I do think that was the best scene you've done,
mm-hmm.
or up there, because you know what, when he starts to walk away and Luke says, she's not home. Like, oh my God, she's not home. Mm-hmm. And he tries, you know why he says they're doing good? He's trying to protect Jess.
Yeah.
Like, of course he's trying to protect Rory, but he's trying to protect Jess. Like, I know you're going to go there, and I don't want you to be hurt by this.
Those two Luke scenes, the one with Lorelai and where's Luke go, and the Jess Luke scene, I think that encapsulates Luke lock, stock, and barrel. That's all you need to know about that character. Watch those two scenes. That's the character.
So you know how you always talk about the Emmys and how like you guys never got nominated? Like I would have submitted those two scenes.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing when I watched that scene. I said that would have been the one to, I think we did submit that scene. And then the Emmys so got them good. And they went, not a chance.
But yeah, I mean, that scene, she's not home. Yeah. It's just like, oh God, mm-hmm. he knows. And Jess doesn't turn around. You're like, they're doing good. And basically he's saying like, I don't want you to be back and just get hurt and don't hurt her, but I don't want you to be hurt. Mm-hmm. I know you love her. I know whatever, you like her.
Poor kid.
And then, oh, you guys.
Were you looking for Dean at come out from behind a tree? When she was kissing Jess.
Was that a great moment?
I was waiting for Dean to just go like.
I was waiting for Dean to somehow have watched it.
Like he was upside down on a branch and he lowered himself.
So wait, I have to ask you guys, were you expecting it? What did you think when she kissed him?
I was not expecting that.
What did you think?
That was really, you know, that was really a great moment. When they can surprise you, that surprised me. And I thought it was terrific. I loved it because you know what I said after that? I said, young love.
Yeah. You know? She flailed away.
Yeah.
And then she says, welcome home.
Right. Right.
Which was so important because she freaked. Oh, mm-hmm. I can't. And mm-hmm. then, so he's sort of disappointed. Like, oh no, she starts to run away. And then she says, welcome home. And he knows like,
you know, the such a stark contrast, and I talked about this before, but if you listen to Paris's speech, her election speech, it was actually unhealthy to listen to. It makes you tense. It makes you anxious. It makes you know what I mean? And then you go to Rory, and she's just, that's healthy because she's relaxed and she's vulnerable and she's sweet. And she's pleasant. She's all heart, you know, and soul. It's interesting. I think this show, that's why I think these people come to these conventions and they're so great and they're so nervous and they're just like, oh my, you know, and it's like shocking and it's wonderful because this show actually, and I don't want to get too wacko about this, but this show actually heals people. It has healing qualities.
Totally.
You know, it does. These characters, and I'm not talking about Luke, I'm talking about, you know, the Rorys, the Lorelais, the Sukis, just the tone of the whole thing. It's
you could be in a really sad mood. I could say bad mood, sad mood. And you watch this show and you're like, I feel better.
Yeah. I watch Gilmore Girls for medicinal purposes, you know?
Yeah.
Doctor recommend, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend, you know?
I mean, when the credits rolled, I was like on a total high. I was like, you know what? That was an awesome hour. Yeah. Like what? Wow. My notes say, wow, 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 wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, 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 wow.
And you get the huge laughs from Yannick, not Tonic, unique Yannick. And you know, he gives Mitsuki you the huge left.
Flipping out.
And then Suki flipping out. And then, you know, Emily's never been better. How great was Emily when she showed up at the wedding and said, that's amazing. How we rise above. It's called rising above. I mean, that whole speech, she just nailed
I've watched
it.
Her say, I'll be damned six right. times. I was like, I need to watch it again. I'll be damned. Like, she, like, oh my gosh.
And did you love Richard when he said, well, I'll join you and see what kind of scotch they're serving here. You know, he's rubbing his hands together. He can't wait to get plowed. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the scene where post-coital scene where Lorelai comes into the kitchen and Suki is freaking out. She's in her wedding dress. She's got her apron on. She's taking out the flowers because she thinks Jackson will think it's silly. And she's nervous and she's second-guessing it. She doesn't want to be divorced, and it's actually hitting her at this point. How did you guys feel? I thought it was a wonderful scene because it really showed just what great friends they are and what great people they are.
One is a great way for Lorelai to have to tell Suki what happened with Christopher, because she's like, say something to distract me, and she's like, I might have something
indeed. Yeah, and wasn't Melissa, her reactions were so great.
Yeah, I love that we got to see.
Oh, really? You know,
I love that we got to see the cake and the dress. It gave us that moment, because we're not going to get it later, to see the cake and the dress.
Right, right, right.
We did see the cake at the wedding, but not the dress.
Yeah. Oh, you did. You did.
Because we only saw Jackson come out. We never saw.
Right. But that was a wonderful scene between two very close friends. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful stuff. And I think that's the heart and soul of the show. That's the feeling of the show. And I think, Suki's a big character in the show. I mean, she's just really, there's such weight there, you know? I mean, she's really just so incredibly talented and so vulnerable and so sweet. And my God, she's so fragile and yet at the same time, tough as nails, like don't mess with. But I mean, what a great base to come from, you know, open-hearted, vulnerable, be able to do anything.
And what a great finale to get. Have a thing to get everybody together. So we've got them singing by the piano when they're talking about like, oh, watch out, Dean, when Babette's got a couple drinks in her. Like those reasons to bring everybody in.
Poor Dean being led to the slaughter once again.
Oh God, he did look every cute. Time he looked cute at the wedding.
Every time he's at his best. You know, it's that like
poor
guy. Whack.
That poor fool.
But how funny was Kirk singing at the by the piano? Huh?
So come on.
They had a bunch of great moments.
But I love it's like the town hall meetings. I love all the scenes when everyone's there.
Right. But there's just nothing like a wedding. I mean, it's the soul of it's the essence of life. There's two people embarking on a journey, a lifelong journey. And I mean, it's evolution, it's nature at play and working through human being. I mean, it's all this stuff. And that's why a lot of great directors open their films with weddings. I mean, Michael Cimino, Francis Ford Coppola. I mean, a lot of classic films, they're open with weddings. Weddings are wonderful things to witness on film. They really are.
It gave us so many opportunities. To see different, you know, we've got that Christopher and Lorelai high and they have that kiss and she tells Emily and then suddenly the phone and we have that scene with Rory and Christopher having that moment. All this happened at the wedding. And then we have the kiss with Jess and it's just like, and then we're so let down. It's just so many things happened.
I think the life lessons here to be learned from Christopher and Lorelai are, no matter how well-intentioned you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how innocent you are, choices matter. And the choices that you make way back when will, spawn consequences the rest of your life. And now look at Christopher. I mean, he's getting ground up. Do you think Christopher wants to be in a situation where he's got Sherry, who he's not so into anymore, and now she's pregnant?
Yep.
That's going
to
be...
He's just trying to do the right thing.
And too late. He should have done the right thing back then and he realizes it. And what do you think the chances are Sherry and Christopher are going to be together forever? Yeah, right? Yeah, it's tough because there's so much pressure now on the other side. It's tough. It's tough being Christopher. I mean, you can look good in your t-shirt all day, but man, that's a tough slog being that guy, man.
I will say, I have confidence in saying that this is the end of Christopher and Lorelai. Like, this is what...
Oh, is it really? Okay. Okay.
No, like, he won't come back again in season 6.
Oh, really? Won't he?
Oh, okay, shoot. Does he come back? He comes
Everyone
back.
Everyone listening is mocking you right now. Everyone listening is literally...
Did you say he won't come back till when?
No, I feel like this is just the end. Like, he's done for. He comes back. Damn it.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Sorry for all the people that are yelling at me right now. I apologize.
I love it. Didn't you guys admire her confidence in it? She was so, she's like, I am certain that he's gone now. Gone for good. Wait, just Danielle.
Oh God. I'm going to, you guys are going to replay this clip whenever.
Oh yes. Riley, can you make a note of this very episode so we can just burn her later?
Oh man.
That's the beauty. You can't predict what's going to happen on this show.
Right. You really can't. Very surprising. But all right. So that was one heck of a season
finale.
Wait,
before we go, I had one more pop culture thing that I have to bring up in this episode. Did anybody else do this? Oh, when
you want to see,
So it's when Lorelai's in the like Scotch on the Rocks pajamas and they're down in the kitchen And she says something like, I think she maybe says like, I had a dream. And Rory says, Brad and Jen broke up. Oh!
I did not catch that. But oh, I would have done this too if I did catch it.
I wrote, oh, with like 5 O's and 27 H's. I was like,
mm-hmm. Oof. That aged well.
The Brad Pitt comet just blasting through Hollywood, right? Touching down every once in a while.
There what do you give go. It? 10 out of 10? 10 out of 10?
I think so. I think this was an excellent episode. It didn't hit you over the head too hard with anything. Like you use that word nuanced. I thought it was more nuanced than most episodes. Not that the other ones aren't, but this one was especially so. And there was just a lot of celebrating and great feelings and hope. It was a very hopeful episode.
I think the thing I won't say my favorite line yet, but the fashion, I definitely want that t-shirt with the 13 on it that said strange. Each episode I'm going to, oh, and braids. Did you guys notice that braids are very in? Because not only does Paris always wear that braid, the person running against her for president also wore a braid. I was like, but I thought maybe they do it to young up the actors because the actors are a little older. Yeah. So they put braids in their hair to make them look younger.
I did make one fashion note that for the first time in history ever, Lorelai and Rory's bridesmaid dresses were actually cute.
And different. They weren't the same exact dress.
Mm-hmm. Same color, different style. Color,
yeah.
Right. But I was like, wow, okay.
So I found a few, what can we call these?
Flubs?
There were a few. It's 1620.
I love the time. And
there is the camera pans to the right. It looks beyond the gas station. And you can see the orange and white traffic barrier.
Oh, let's see if somebody...
A real Warner Brothers security guard guarding the entrance to the back lot.
Oh,
you can
God.
Also see a white building with green windows and a trailer with a green awning. And those, ladies and gentlemen, are Warner Brothers production buildings and not part of the set.
Oh my God. Riley, do you think somebody could go to 1610 and find circle
1620. Yeah.
1620. Right.
1620.
Another one is at the very end. Okay. At 4345. Notice that Suki and Jackson are using Luke's huppa.
I did not see that.
Yes. Someone got married under it after all. Right. There is also a deleted scene from this episode on YouTube.
Oh.
Rory wants to go to miniature golfing after getting her cast off. So if you want to go to YouTube and access that, you can.
God.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Well, I have a production team too.
I
don't have this level of staff and power and money behind me. You know, but I do now with you guys, but I have a little, I have some paper.
Oh, I love
They're doing some work, man. They love the show and they notice all these things.
Like cheese, it gets better with time. See ya, Gouda. Right. That's my line. Boy, with the poodles already is awesome.
Yeah. Riley, what's your favorite line?
We talked about it, but when Rory says, hey, I haven't been dressed by a bird since I was 2.
Right. Danielle.
The good old Emily, that's called Rising Above It. But I will give you another one since that was already said. This was in between Lorelai and Suki with the whole cake thing. Lorelai goes, you go get some sleep. And Suki goes, and you go get some.
Mine was just Yannick saying goodbye. The very end of that scene. The way he just cut her off and said, goodbye.
I laughed
so loud. That guy makes me laugh so much.
God,
because he's so precise. He's so good at what he does. He's such a good actor. You know?
Oh my
and
God.
I mean, it was just genius. That
the
scene,
guest list is like 50 people, and he's like, I might have to get a second sheet of paper. He's just like, I got this. Thanks.
Yeah. So anyway,
he's
so that's
the best
it.
In this.
Oh, God, he is. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up. Episode 22, season finale. Can't get started.
And you don't have to wait 3 months for us to do season 3.
Sure don't. We're going to be back next week. We're going to come at you. So anyway, thank you, ladies. I really enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed our discussion. Danielle Romo, Riley Pelousis, Amy Sugarman. And that's going to be a wrap on season 2. Thanks, everybody. Best fans on the planet. Love you. And keep those cards and letters coming, those comments and those emails. And stay safe. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.